Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts. Aww. He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure, as always. And I think you're going to be glad you did, because we got our buddy Mike Menzies back on the show. Mike is the resident banker in our brain trust. He is the president and CEO of Easton Bank and Trust in the beautiful shoreline of Maryland, a wonderful part of the world, a garden spot of the world. I've been there, and it's like a little bit of heaven over there. They got the crabs running in the summertime, and the geese coming in the wintertime. It's just a wonderful part of the world, isn't it, Mike?
Where the women are strong and the men are handsome, and
I thought that was Minnesota.
Oh, you did.
And the children are all above average, right?
And the children are all above average, you can bet.
Yeah. No way. You and I would never steal anybody else's line, would we?
No.
Hey, and the ICBA, Independent Community Bankers Association, you're the incoming chairman, right?
That's exactly right. In March, I'll be inducted as the new chairman of the Independent Community Bankers of America, following a great leader and a lovely gal, Cynthia Blankenship, who is the president of the Bank of the West in Grapevine, Texas.
Grapevine, Texas. I've been there.
Yep. And she's done a fantastic job, and I'm beyond honored to have two other community bankers working with me, Jim McPhee from Kalamazoo, Michigan, and Sal Maranka from upstate New York.
So there are what, 9,000 banks? There are 9,000 banks in the country, is that right?
Actually, there are approximately 8,380 banks altogether.
And how many independent community banks are there?
Roughly 8,000 are community banks.
So 8,000 of the 8,300 banks are independent community banks, and you're listening, ladies and gentlemen, to the man who's going to be the chairman of their national association. And we knew him when he had a $60 million equity asset independent community bank, didn't we, Mike?
Yep, I was selling hot dogs on the corner when we first met.
Not quite, but no, seriously, when we first met you, Eastern Bank was about, I don't even think you were $60 million at that point, were you?
Actually, when I came to Eastern Bank, we were a little bit under $30
million. I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah, we're about $170 million today, and
yeah.
We're profitable, we're well capitalized, we're well regulated, and we are blessed to be in the market that we're in.
In your life, now, Mike, you've been a banker all your life. And your whole career. And so in your career, did you ever imagine that the banking industry would find itself in the stressful situation, in the really tough situation that it's in right now?
You know, Jim, we have been talking, we meaning the Independent Community Bankers of America, have been talking for almost 20 years about the risks associated with extreme concentration of power, extreme consolidation, extreme aggregation.
You've talked about that on this show before.
We have talked about this for some 20 years, but never did we imagine that it could result in the kinds of fallout that have occurred on Wall Street. And the reason was that the federal government argued for those decades that the too big to fail issue, that the largest banks that we felt were too big to fail, the government would have to bail them out. I think the government genuinely believed that they could go in and just liquidate them and move on. Mm-hmm. And we learned last year that these entities are so interconnected and so interdependent.
So many counterparties.
And they have such an extreme concentration amongst a few that that end of the industry in its entirety is too big to fail.
Right.
And that's
so the individual bank might not be too big to fail, but because of their connections, the industry is.
the credit default swaps and the CDOs and the SIVs and the SCIs and the counterparty risks and all of the interconnectedness of these large entities.
Which created the toxic assets.
The toxic asset issue was clearly an issue of excesses and of greed, and that is an issue in and of itself. But someday over the next decade, Congress has got to deal with this issue of should a company exist if it is too big to fail and if the taxpayers are needed to step in to save
it.
And it's not a simple subject. It's easy to throw that out there. It's something else to come up with a resolution so that we still have a globally competitive economy.
When we come back after these messages, we're going to talk about the banking industry. How healthy is it? What are the myths that we need to dispel? What are the realities that we need to own up to? And what about your relationship with your bank? And it's 2010. We're going to be right back with Mike Menzies. Stay with me. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out. Use it to your advantage. We built it just for you. No barriers to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us, use our stuff. You got 5 seconds, we got something for you. You got 60 seconds, we got something for you. You like to listen, you like to read, we got something for you. You got 3 minutes, you got 18 minutes, we got something for you. The blog's there, the newsletter is there. You can subscribe to either one of those. The newsletter will send you by email. My knowledge base, where you get small business answers now, it's there. Folks, I don't know, you know, find me a site that's got more information that'll help you in your small business. I don't know where it is. Smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out and use it to your advantage. It's free because our sponsors help us make it free. We hope you thank them too. Mike Menzies has been joining us for years now to help us understand the banking, the relationships that we have with our banks and the banking industry, and that's what he's doing right now. Mike is president of Eastern Bank and Trust out of Eastern Maryland. He's the incoming chairman. That's a volunteer job for the ICBA, the Independent Community Bankers of America. And folks, how many times, let's count them, how many times a week, not just since I've been doing the show, how many times a week do I say to you, if you're not doing business with an independent community bank, you might be putting your business in jeopardy. If you have a small business, you must have an independent community bank relationship. Mike, I'm not saying that just because you're here. My audience knows I've said that 3 times at least already this week.
Well, you're singing from our hymnal, obviously, Jim, and I think
I'm singing from the experience of somebody who wouldn't be here today if it weren't for an independent community bank.
And I'm hearing that more and more over the years, that people value the fact that they have a relationship, not just a transaction.
There's no question about it, Mike. But I want to come back though to this banking situation. A lot of people are saying, some people who seem to be experts, an expert no less than Ken Lewis of Bank of America, saying that there are going to be hundreds, if not thousands, of bank failures over the next 12 to 24 months or so. Do you believe that?
It's awfully difficult to speculate because we don't know what's going to happen until we know where unemployment is going to go and whether a stimulus package is going to make a significant difference or not. But based on today's facts are that there are approximately 8,380 banks in this country, that 170 or so of those banks are on the problem list of the FDIC. Mm-hmm. The fact that you're on a problem list does not mean that you're going down. It means that you're stressed. The fact is that those markets where the real estate economy is exceedingly soft, they have
Florida, Nevada, California, that kind of
California, exactly, Arizona. Yep. Mm-hmm. Those markets are under more stress than other markets.
There's a concentration of those troubled banks in those states, probably.
I would say that there are a few states that have a concentration of real estate problems, and that's putting pressure on banks. There's no bank in the land today, not one, that doesn't have some form of troubled assets, ours included. The difference with the community bank is, one, we are well capitalized. Two, we are still profitable. Three, we are well regulated. Four, we have relationships with customers, and when they're under stress, we are talking to them. We're not just shipping it off to the lawyers saying sell the asset. We're talking to our customers to say what are the strategies available to get through the next couple of years and this economic correction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because we go to Rotary with them, we go to church with them,
yep.
we go to the volunteer organizations, we live with these people. And they're not just transactions. They are neighbors and friends and associates.
But from a practical standpoint, from a mechanical standpoint, though, Mike, the other thing is the decision about our business relationship from the bank level, bank's perspective, is made locally. And that's
absolutely.
That's the thing that I like about it. I'd like ICBA's perspective on the economic recovery plan. I've written about this quite a bit. I've talked about it a lot in the last couple of months, and I'm very disappointed in the economic recovery plan with regard to how it treated small businesses. The last point I made in my column last week was pork doesn't create jobs, small businesses do. What do you think?
Well, there's no question that ICBA wants to see community banks and does see community banks actively participating in the recovery in their individual communities. I mean, that's what community banks are about. Community banks are independent in every respect except one. They are codependent upon the health of their community.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, community banks are actively involved in the economic recoveries in their communities. We have advocated for equal access to the monies that the government has suggested it wants to invest in community banks in order to stimulate the economy.
Is that like TARP money?
That's like TARP money. Now, what's mm-hmm. really unfortunate?
Troubled Assets Recovery Program. But just because you're taking it doesn't mean that you've got troubled assets.
Yes, and there are two issues that are really disconcerting. One is that if a community bank does in fact take TARP Capital Purchase Program money, then it's de facto labeled as being in trouble, and that's not true, and that's
right.
unfortunate.
Would it take TARP money?
We have not yet taken TARP
would
money.
You?
We're going to evaluate it. We have not made a decision
right.
on whether we will
could
or will
you,
not
could
take
you
the
take
money.
It? Is it available
sure.
to you?
Sure, absolutely. But the issue that the community banks in the nation are facing is that the conditions in the TARP TARP investment program were designed around the largest banks of
right.
the land who were troubled,
right.
and those conditions are in certain ways exceedingly punitive.
Yeah.
And the community banks didn't create this train wreck, and they shouldn't be punished by
the good news
punitive
is, though,
component.
The good news is, though, Mike, is you're not going to have to sell your jet, see, if
that's right.
if
yeah,
you take the money.
You're not kidding.
That's the
yeah.
good news. I'm so happy that you're going to be able to hang on to your jet, which, by the way, has Continental on the tail, folks. Tin Tails, right back with Mike Menzies. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Mike Menzies, president of Easton Bank and Trust in Easton, Maryland, incoming chairman of the ICBA, the national organization that represents 8,000 independent community banks across America, one of which I do business with, as I said before. You know, Mike, I mentioned this before. I did something I've never seen anybody else do. In my second book, I thanked my banker by name in my book, in the acknowledgments.
Well, that's great. Was he also your psychiatrist?
he probably has been from time to time. But no, I said I want to thank this bank for being there for me and over the years. And I'm telling you, I tell my audience all the time, folks, I wouldn't be able to do what I do right now if it weren't for my banker who believed in me when I'm not even sure I believed in myself. There was probably a 30-minute period when he believed in me and I didn't even believe in myself. It's an incredible relationship, and if you don't have it, you need it, and if you have it, you know what I'm talking about. Mike, let's talk about that relationship for a minute. Before we do, though, I want you to give us out the website. Folks, this is not your grandfather's independent community bank website. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, it's EastonBankAndTrust.com.
I worked Easton hard on this on this website, folks.
Yeah, I know it. We still haven't paid you your royalty yet, have
I? EastonBankAndTrust.com. Check it out. And if you get a chance to go over there, it's a beautiful part of the world. Mike, what about What about the relationship between our bankers and our small business owners? What do you advise now? Even if you're not upside down, even if you're not having a lot of trouble, whether you are or whether you're not, what do you think we should be doing with our relationships?
I think that the banking industry today is in a position, in part because of the reality of regulatory requirements, the reality of real estate, where in the boardrooms and the loan committees, they're wondering what problems are out there. And it's their job to determine if problems exist, and you can't deal with or resolve problems unless you're aware of them. So it never before has it been more important for borrowers to communicate with bankers. In my lifetime in banking, if a borrower has a problem and hides it, the problem belongs only to the borrower.
Right.
If a borrower has a problem and takes it to the banker, then the problem belongs to both of them, and they both
right.
have a responsibility to resolve it together.
What he just said, folks, you need to write that down. That's going to be on the test. I promise you, the first one example is a path to failure. The second example is a path to success.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a human nature to want to flight. To want to get
right.
away, to
right.
say I don't have a solution.
You're ashamed of it. You're frightened
yeah.
of it, and
yeah,
and you
exactly.
don't want to tell anybody about it.
Yep, and that's natural human nature. And any banker worth his salt believes that if the banker was involved in that loan, they own that loan as well.
Mm-hmm.
They belong to them.
One of the things I tell people, Mike, is that a phone call, if there's a problem, a phone call is going to be made. Make sure that it's not the banker calling you first. Make sure you call.
Yeah.
Make sure you make the phone call first.
Exactly. You know, bankers have all kinds of measurement tools, like is there an overdraft or are they late or that
mm-hmm.
sort of thing. Getting ahead of the curve is important. And I know it's stressful because small business people don't have an inventory of staff running around doing everything they want. I mean, they're making the coffee, unlocking the door, cleaning the floor and everything else. But it's important to find a way to find the time to communicate. I'm blessed to know that if a loan that I've been involved in is made, these people aren't afraid to call me at home at night. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, and we've got some free time and we can talk about issues. We do that on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, these are the kinds. See, folks, doesn't that make you want to have a relationship with your banker? If you don't have that kind of a relationship, I do. I have that same kind of relationship, Mike. With my banker and with more than one over there, and I'm telling you, and some of my people have with their people, so to speak. I mean, we got lots of different relationships, folks. If you don't have that kind of relationship at your bank, you need to get it done at that bank or find a new bank. You need to find out if it's your fault or if it's their fault, maybe both.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, James, to be on the air with you and to communicate with 8,000 other community banks that we are part of the solution to this issue
mm-hmm.
of a recession. We're ready to get. We are getting involved. We are making a difference in our own communities, and we feel that's our obligation to our communities.
Absolutely, and that's the attitude they have. Hey, Mike, good luck to you. I hope I talk to you before the big event in Phoenix when you're inducted as the chairman of the ICBA. But congratulations, we're very proud of you.
Thanks, James. Best to
thanks.
You.
Mike Menzies, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. I will be, too. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.